This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hello, and for some reason you've decided to stop by Business Success Tips again. Good for you. Good for you. Anyway, I'm joined, as always, with Lee and Paul.
Hello.
We have Sean Daly.
He just Hello.
Keeps coming back. We like it, though.
Keeps coming back for more.
And Tim, our ever-faithful engineer.
That's right. And this is the holiday pre-Christmas, but not yet quite Christmas show.
Happy holiday.
Happy holidays. And we're going to talk about, in these, we're starting to do four segments in this. There are going to be four shows cut into 1 hour show cut into 15-minute segments.
A month of entertainment.
A month of entertainment that they can anxiously wait like for the next exciting show.
I don't know how anxious.
we're going to talk. It's really weird not having headphones. I've never done
that
before.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's weird. It's like,
I feel disconnected from the
podcast.
I feel
like disconnected from the group. You know, like, we're just talking like regular people now. It doesn't quite seem so.
You know what it is? Is we all like hearing our own voices in our headphones. That's what it is.
We're missing that sex appeal.
It does sound really good.
I see. You like listening to yourself. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about how to start a business with no money, because we keep telling everybody, quit your job if you don't like your job. If you love your job, keep your job. But if you don't like your job, your most valuable asset is time. And to spend that on something you don't like is truly a waste. So if you're in a bad job, you're in a bad relationship, you're in a bad house, you're in about anything that really sucks, then you should change it, because you only have so much time on the planet. My personal way I do it is I figure you should live life like you're going to live and die in 3 years. So, I mean, 10 years is too long, but a year probably make dumb mistakes. But if you figure I'm going to, you know, live for 3 years and die, and you make your decisions based on that, I think you'll have a pretty good grasp of time. What do you think about that, Sean?
Yeah, that's interesting. The one-year thing would be probably get pretty reckless.
<That's>
So I'm not sure that would really be. You might actually fulfill your own reality.
I got enough money I can last a year. Why work?
Yeah, 3 years. I mean, if you can get over the morbidity of it, I get what you're saying there. It's like, you know, it's like people who have near-death experiences, right? They live life in a full way. And I think if you can keep that mindset, you know, it's like death is a teacher, you know, so I think that's really true. Cool.
Well, yeah. I think the other part of it, too, is that you know, a near-death experience can also help you realize how well off you are to begin with, and to make sure you stay that way.
Right, perspective is all relative, right?
Yeah.
So,
Well, I went to a relationship counselor this week, among my many experiences. And
are you trying to get along with me?
That's right. And what he was talking about, he's been doing this for 35 years. He's really, really good at it. And what I got from him, which was great, was he really cared and loved people and really wanted to make things work, which I thought was great, because when we work with clients, JC and I generally want to help them, and I think they pick up that. In fact, I think we sort of get paid to, you know, to love people and care about them, and that's why we get through 15 hours. It sounds a little, you know.
I think anybody who's good at what they do, though, has that attitude. I mean, have you ever been to a doctor who doesn't care if the outcome of your health?
Yeah.
I mean,
do you go back?
I have met those doctors.
Right.
I mean, hopefully the doctor cares.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when my doctor explained to me that I had a heart condition and that I had to go get a heart transplant. He literally had tears in his eyes to tell me. He says, "You're too young to have this happen." I mean, he was really, really upset. And we've become really close friends ever since. And I think that kind of caring matters, no matter what kind of a service you provide to somebody.
Because this guy's been here for 35 years. And when I got a really, from his point of view, he feels love is what keeps people alive. Because statistically, people that, you know, are not in a relationship die like way sooner than people that are.
Great.
People lose it. Sorry about that, Lee. You better find somebody.
All right, ladies, line up.
That's right. Send those emails to scs@sonic.net.
Save me.
Save Lee. That's right.
Well, you might die sooner, but
I think relationships would make me live shorter, actually.
Well, depending on the relationship.
Well, statistically, you know, what is it? 50% of the marriages end up in divorce, and the second marriage is like 70% end up in divorce. And the statistics are really bad.
How about the third?
Well, as JC said, you know, people probably, really bad people fail at it, then they try it again, and they just keep.
If you're not good at it, you're probably never going to be good at it.
Right.
That'd be me.
So that, what they just said this was, he felt that love is really important in keeping people together. And it was probably one of the most important things in life. And I think if you're starting a business, you should really care about it and care about the people.
Yep.
Crank up the love.
Because we visited corporate America last week in our
Was there a lot of love in the corporate America? A lot of love in boardrooms?
Not really.
Love of money. Love of money.
Yeah. It was interesting because we visited this. They had like 600 employees. I guess it's one little section of a multi-billion-dollar company. And I got, there's all these cubicles. I forgot what that's like.
Cubicle row. That sucked the life out of me. just walking through that section, I was like, oh my God, I pictured myself being in one of those cubicles.
Scary.
It was like my chest was being compressed.
If you're like sort of low on the totem pole, you get a cubicle. And then if you get advanced, they put you against the wall, so you get a window. Mm-hmm. And the people that
like a senior like director
right.
gets the window.
Gets the
cubicle
nature,
where you can
right?
breathe. Yeah, you can
and
see
then,
a chipmunk outside.
If you're a high exec,
they're like gold.
You're a high exec. You like get to be in a real office with maybe two right. windows, maybe a corner right. window.
Yeah,
whoa.
Oh, a corner. Yeah.
And I was thinking, what is life? Is that like? It's sort of like. People are volunteering to be in prison. I mean, if you were an alien, you're looking at the Earth.
I'm going to have to start disagreeing with this whole conversation because I have clients and all the people in a bank is a good example. And they're all living in cubicles. They are so happy. They're having such a good time. They're interacting. They're having parties all day long in different cubicles. They put up balloons. And I mean, it's a very close-knit bank, and everybody's really
– Well, you're right. The environment doesn't make it. So
yeah,
we're looking at a superficial metric, which is the boxes, right? So the boxes aren't cool. But if the person next to you is like some great person or your whole team is great and your boss, then you're all together working. You're all together on the chain gang. Yeah.
They make the difference.
Okay, but
so
you could be in jail and make friends with your cellmate, right?
Hey, if you're
now you're
a lot of cool people.
That's right.
Well, let's just put it this way. Probably the majority of cubicle workers are not really thrilled about it. I'm going to go out on a limb on that one. Okay, but I'm willing to entertain the notion that there are exceptions to that rule.
Yeah. In my experience of just going through that was there was two things that I wasn't really used to. One is the whole cubicle thing.
Your cubicle's an automobile.
Yeah, but I get to drive it all over and look at things.
It's a mobile cube.
Yeah, you get to look at the guy in front of you.
Well, I thought about that. I thought if someone said you could make more, twice as much money as you're making now, and all you have to do is be in San Francisco in a high rise and a nice office and sit there for, 8 hours a day and have people come in your office and do the same thing you're doing now and have them leave, I wouldn't do it. Me. Because I enjoy traveling and seeing people and being in their offices. It just would drive me nuts to sit in one place 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, and I think the fair thing to say is one person's prison is another person's paradise. Mm-hmm. So that we're projecting our own into it, our own feelings,
right.
And there's nothing wrong or right here. But if you're a person who's sitting right now listening to this and saying I am in that cubicle or I am doing this
if
job,
if you're sitting
or whatever
in that cubicle right now, jump up and see who else jumps up.
Let's quit our jobs and see who joins you.
Right. So whatever it is that you're doing that's sucking the life out of you, like a vampire. Maybe it's time to stop that and create some energy somewhere else where you're actually feeling positive. And that you talked about the love factor, and that sounds real touchy feeling and everything, but it's actually true because people get that. When you love what you do, you have that gleam in your eye.
Yep.
And you give that to the other person, and
that's
they feel that, and they feel your motivation. So that's a reason alone. And plus, it gets you up in the morning, because then it's not drudgery. You're like, you snap up out of bed and go, I can't wait to do this.
Well, I've noticed in your case, for example, your wife.
I hate what I do.
No, you should see this website presents it. And he goes, this is my Sistine Chapel. I've been up the last, 27 hours or whatever working on this. It's amazing. And when you think, I was thinking also about Stephanie. Stephanie really doesn't have to work.
Stephanie's my wife. Yes.
Right. Stephanie doesn't have to work. She could just do kids. And she certainly doesn't have to drive around working for, ICERIS, helping Shell. She didn't have to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, so why does she do it?
Why does she do it? Because she likes to. She has her motivation is to contribute. She's a hard worker. She's got that Protestant work ethic, just like I do, drilled into us from birth. But she wants to keep her mind active, and she has a lot to offer. So she wants to share that, because if you don't get a chance to share your gifts with the world, whatever they are, whether it's music or business or sales, it's kind of I don't think that you can really be very happy if you don't get to share.
It'd be
your
like
gifts.
I agree. Tim over here, our engineer guy, who's. If nobody was listening to what you're engineering, it wouldn't be as much fun, right?
He's not.
He's not listening.
Would you say, Paul?
What did you say?
He doesn't really care.
People actually listen?
That's true.
It's really hard to tell. I mean, microphone, it's like you work and work and work. And it's like credits, for instance, in the world. You get credits. Like, oh, you're going to get credit on this. It's like, I've had credit on many things, but it doesn't do me any good at all. It's like.
Well,
recording. People are listening. Oh, that's good. Radio station DJs told me one time. Sorry, one radio DJ.
Yeah, go ahead.
He said, when people call him, he actually knows there's people on the other side listening, but usually he doesn't.
Well, it's like we're doing this, and I was looking at our statistics, and I think we've had, we're all pushing 60,000 downloads, hooray, hooray. And that has no reality to me, other than the occasional emails we get, which we really appreciate, emails at scs@sonic.net. We haven't got enough lately. And it isn't real. I mean, we're talking this microphone in a room, but is it real that there's like 400 people or 500 people actually listening to what we're doing?
If we could go feedback to the Czech really Republic, important. It could be real.
What?
If we could go to the Czech Republic, it'd be real.
You just want to get laid.
Heck yeah, and have cheap beer. Is there anything wrong with it?
You should go to Thailand then. That's
well, I don't really like Oriental women that much.
Oriental. I can't believe that. No.
Well, but this doesn't have to be politically correct.
Anyway, feedback is really important in terms of whether people are actually listening.
Right.
Well, now we'll get the emails. Go ahead.
Now we get the emails. See? That's right.
Now it's a flame bait.
That's right.
So your point was?
My point was that loving what you do, I mean, like, we meet with people. It's like meeting with friends. That's really important. That's what gets you up in the morning, at least me.
Right. And but there's one other, what Sean was talking about.
The feedback.
But the purpose. You know, if you do something that's purposeless, then you're not going to enjoy that. I mean, whatever you do has to have purpose. And that's why I think people who don't sometimes work don't feel like they have a purpose, and their life is going to just shrivel.
You mean a purpose besides just paying rent?
Right, well, exactly.
Making money isn't a purpose.
Money.
I mean,
that's not a purpose.
Someone said,
that's right.
You know, you can go dig a hole in the sand and have the ocean covered up, and we'll give you, you know, $200,000 a year to do that.
Yeah,
no purpose. You have to do it 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. I mean, I wouldn't do that.
You can really get a Zen kind of experience out of it.
Some people might get into it.
Like, when I was one of my first jobs was washing dishes, and I had a ball. Because washing dishes was very zen-like after a while. You just wash the dishes. It was nice. I enjoyed it.
I spent most of the day Friday chopping wood.
There we go.
Oh, that's chopping wood, right? Cool, there's a book about chopping wood. That's great purpose.
It's good work.
Something about chopping wood.
Well, the podcast we did that never got put on iTunes, so it doesn't have many people listen to it, was the three P's, which is purpose, passion, and profit. If you can have those in what you do, then you're probably successful at it. And you can look at those. Does it have purpose in my life? Am I passionate about it? And is it profitable?
Mm-hmm.
If it has those, it's probably going to be successful.
Yeah, those are good questions to ask. And it's right, you know, money isn't necessarily, there's always something behind that. Like, I have these clients that I work with, and there's a repeating pattern. They keep wanting to take their money and leave the country with it at the end. Like, there's the vision of going off to Thailand. As a matter of fact, I was thinking of that gentleman.
Yeah, because our friend did that, right? And married me and
exactly.
wife and that old
thing.
He was actually on a podcast, right?
Yes, that's right. And then the next one with the other guy is going to Mexico. But whatever it is, it's like the money is something to enable freedom.
Right.
And,
it's just,
you know,
a
that
tool.
Dream.
Right.
It's a tool.
Well,
yeah.
I have a client this week that thought he had paper stock and ended up being real stock, and hopefully get a check for $7 million in January. And
how depressing.
That's right. And I think, you know, looking at him, he's a client. He's paying me to get this other company started. And, you know, the other company, the best he could probably do if we totally kicked ass, we'd make a couple $100,000 a year. I mean, if everything worked. Mm-hmm. And he was still into it because he really, it happens to be high tech doing really high sophisticated audio stuff. And he likes doing that. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see somebody that even if you got X million dollars, you're not going to change your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got a million or whatever, and you're still in and doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if I had, I mean, the mortgage company, if it would have done, if I'd have making $20,000 or $30,000 a month, they probably like could have quit, and it wouldn't have changed. I wouldn't have like not done this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, you know, sometimes what it is you do things like, and again, I'm thinking of one of my clients, is that you do certain things that you know aren't necessarily going to be a profit center for you, but you do them because they recharge your batteries.
Right.
And they keep you going and interested.
I would like to add, though, that if you're thinking about quitting your job and getting into the music business, that probably you shouldn't quit your day job.
Because
doing something passionate is great, but, you know, there's, like, especially in the music business, you have to support the music business because whether or not you're going to make money in it or not is very questionable.
Well, I would say that has a lot to do with intention. I mean, one of the things that we talked about, Lee, you said you had a guy who you know who started a website with no money.
Oh, yeah.
And
shout out to Chris Watson. Yes.
Chris Watson.
Fitness Journal.
Yes.
Hello, Chris.
He's been listening to our podcast, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yay, Chris. Okay.
Fitnessjournal.com.
We can have him as a guest.
We should.
We should have Chris as a guest.
Yeah. Yep.
But
okay,
tell the
Chris
Watson story, sort of the short version. Sorry.
Well, I don't know the whole story in great detail, but the bottom line to it is that Chris is a fitness guy, and he kept journals, and he decided to put up a website and have other people to pay to use the journaling, and it works great. I mean, there's charts and graphs and all kinds of way to keep track of your exercise and the results and everything else.
And he's achieved financial independence.
And he's done extremely well. Yeah,
great. So,
do you know how he monetized it? Or yeah, is that a question for next time?
No, what happens is you pay $10 a month to be on his website, or $100 for 3 years.
So it's just purely subscription-based? Well, that's great. If you can do that,
and he's advertising revenue. So that's a success.
That's great.
Well, we're going to move on to our Christmas podcast for our next podcast. So stay tuned in to learn how you can make a whole bunch of... Yeah, all of you. All of you 500 people out there listening to this can make quit your job, make a bunch of money, unless you're having passion about your job. And we'll cover that on how to do it very inexpensively on our next podcast.
I'll be there.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
LexNet Consulting Group is your one-stop resource for a selection of award-winning CRM, email marketing, and business intelligence solutions. LexNet serves small to mid-sized companies across the Western U.S. from our offices in the San Francisco Bay Area, Southern California, and Seattle. LexNet's tailored business solutions are designed to increase revenue and reduce costs. LexNet will help you develop a consistent sales, marketing, and customer support approach to drive your company's revenues, even during tough economic times. Every business has unique needs, and LexNet will help you meet those needs with customized, integrated solutions that give your business easily accessible and actionable information. To find out more about the powerful and effective business management solutions that LexNet offers, please visit lexnetcg.com, where you'll find helpful resources including articles, white papers, industry news, customer success stories, and informative podcasts like this one. While there, be sure to sign up for our Customer 360 newsletter filled with CRM and email marketing news, tips, and tricks. LexNet, your partner in business success.